Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0. Money 2.0. Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. This show is for business owners or those dreaming of becoming a business owner and are looking for more information on buying or selling a business. We cover topics that include the spectrum of selling a business or buying a business or buying a franchise. We also cover topics for those managing a business, such as finance, legal issues, tax, accounting, and sales and marketing. Or as I like to say, this show is where Wall Street meets Main Street. The good news from Wall Street this morning is that the Dow's up about 150 points. And I was listening to CNBC this morning. Cal Quintanilla, he was talking and saying that every Tuesday the Dow has increased for the last 15 sessions in a row. So it looks like if you're planning to invest, Tuesday is a good day to invest. And he also said that that the increase in the Dow this year, about 70% of the increases are done on a Tuesday. So obviously Tuesdays are a good day. So if you're listening today, welcome, and we'll cover some topics about buying and selling a business. Again, my name's Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm certified with the California Association of Business Brokers, and I'm also certified with International Business Brokers Association. I'm the author of four books: Successfully Start Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, and of course, Successfully Sell Your Business. If you want some more information about me, you're welcome to visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, and you're always welcome to call 916-570-2674. Just before we get into our guest this morning and what we'll be talking about, just want to go back to last Monday's Boston Marathon, just an horrific event in Boston, and it just blew me away with the cruelty and the nature of what was done. But what was incredible to me was to watch the response of the local community and how they pulled together and really helped the victims that survived the marathon. So if you're inclined, you've got some spare money and you'd like to help those people who got horrendous hospital bills, and a lot of them are self-employed. I heard one guy talk about being self-employed and he won't be able to work for a while because of the explosion. So if you have a mind and you've got some spare money, you'd like to make a donation, there is a website they've got set up to make a donation. It's a verified website, because a lot of these websites pop up and they're fraud. But if you'd like to make a donation, there's a website called onefundboston.org. So it's www.onefundboston.org, and it's a place you can go on to make a donation and help those victims that were caught in the incredible blasts in Boston. Just a very, very tragic event. Thinking of selling a business, what's the first place to start? The first place to start is to get a business valuation. The guest I've got this morning, he introduced a client of his to me a little while back, and he was thinking of selling his business. And I met with the client that was introduced to me, and he had a perception of the value of his business. And he asked me to put together a valuation. He thought his business was worth about $1 million. And by the time I'd put together information, I found it was worth about just over $110,000. So for somebody who's thinking of selling a business, that's kind of an extreme example. And the reason I mention it is because a lot of business owners really have an expectation or have a perception of the value of their business, but it's often not based in reality. So valuing a business involves looking at the tax returns from the last 3 years. It involves looking at the current profit and loss statement, and involves looking at the balance sheet. And from that information, we can put together just a pencil out, a detailed version. I put together a 19-page report, in fact, and it helps the business owner know the value of the business and helps them doing some planning. If they're thinking of selling, it helps them work through that and decide that's the right place to be. So if you think of selling a business and want to know more about the value of your business, give me a call, help you put the valuation together, send you an engagement agreement. It's a formal process, and I'll tell you the documents I need, and we can put that together for you. So I'd like to introduce my guest this morning. He's with a financial advisor, and he spends his time helping people plan for their future And we had a function last night that that was with one of the funds that that I've personally invested in. And my guest is Rich Frank. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm glad you're here. And tell me a little bit about Rich Frank. What gets Rich Frank out of bed in the morning?
A couple of rescue dogs. My son gets up at 5 a.m., so we're up early risers.
And I know Rich is an early riser because I meet with Rich on a Thursday morning. We have a group we both go to, and the group starts at 7 o'clock. And Rich comes down from up Granite Bay area to our group, which is in downtown Sacramento, and he's always there early. So to get that half-hour drive down, Rich is an early riser, and he's a good member of our group. Rich, tell me a little about your professional or your business background. What are some of the things you've done?
Oh, gosh. For 20 years, I worked in San Francisco for an office equipment company, and that was fun. Got to be involved really with all facets of a small business. And then in 1999, I became securities licensed, changed the industry. I started out as a fee-based financial planner. And in 2007, got my CFP designation. And I've been with Edward Jones since 2003 here in Sacramento. So 10th year here at the branch in Sacramento.
So you're with Edward Jones. What attracted you to the financial services industry? What got you excited about becoming a financial advisor?
Well, there's a story there, actually. I had a gentleman who worked for me back in the office equipment days who went into this industry, and I helped him kind of make the transition. And then he came back to me years later, and he was a success at it. And he said, you know, this is perfect for you. What are you going to be doing, you know, when you're old and gray? And I said, yeah, that would be a good industry. I'll check it out. And the more I checked it out, the more it was a good fit. And I'm glad I made the jump.
What was the good fit? What was the part that got you excited about being a financial planner?
It is that over time, you never know it all. You just learn over time how much you don't know. And so that challenge goes on. And then I enjoy working with people. So it's a daily it's very interesting, the number of personal situations. It's not similar from person to person, as you might think. You would think, well, everybody fits into this certain category, so this is how they deal with things. What you find is people are very unique, and they have very unique situations, and that's fun.
Yep, that's great. That's one of the things I like about being a business broker. It's a lifetime of learning, touching on tax and business valuation, accounting, legal issues, all sorts of things involved, and every person I deal with is different, and every situation is different. So that's part of my appeal about what I do, and it sounds like that's part of your appeal as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're currently working with Edward Jones. What qualifications do you need to be a financial planner with Edward Jones? Do you need qualifications, or you may have some qualifications? Tell us a little bit.
It's kind of a tough job to get, really. I've helped with hiring at Edward Jones, and we often joke, the people that have been there a few years, that we wouldn't get hired today. It'd be too tough. But we are looking for people. I think the basic skill that people need is they have to be able to listen, and that's a tough skill to learn, and I'm still working on that skill. But the basics behind financial advising is, first of all, it's a sales job. People have to learn that you're going to have to go out and sell yourself and what you do for people in order to have any clients to work with. Once you have clients, that's the fun part of the job. That's really what's easy. So as far as qualifications, they come from all walks of life. Teachers make great financial advisors. We get people from the military that make great financial advisors. People that are just transitioning because it's time for a new challenge, who genuinely enjoy helping people and are willing to do the work, they make great financial advisors. But again, it's unique. People try the job, and some people it doesn't work out for. It's not easy to get started in the business.
I love that the ability to listen is a challenge. One of the skills required to do what you do well is the ability to listen, and you described it as a sales job. So it's interesting that the typical mantra has been a sales job is somebody gets out there and shakes the trees and is aggressive with their sales mode. But that model's changing. It's the ability to listen now that is so important. It's important to what I do as well. Thank you for listening to the show this morning. We're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and we're back in the morning with Rich Frank from Edward Jones.
Money Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Hey, I appreciate you doing a testimonial for us.
You guys changed my life.
Well, thanks.
I'm on the radio?
Yep.
I'm on the air?
Yep.
And nobody knows it's me, right? Because I'm a very private person.
That's why we gave you a wig and blurred your face.
Oh, and did you disguise my voice?
Uh-huh.
Good. Ask away.
And what kind of job did you find at SacramentoHelpWanted.com?
Oh, a retail job. I posted a resume in minutes. It was free, super easy.
Thank you, Bunny Grosky. We appreciate your help.
Oh, you just said my name.
There's a delay. We can edit it out.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
No. SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Let's see what we're looking for. Techies, nerds, geeks.
Dorks, dweebs, goobers, goofballs.
Misfits, bookworms.
Poindexters.
Good one. How about gurus?
Ooh, nice. But check this out. Turkeys, twerps, and twits.
At SacramentoHelpWanted.com, we have dozens, maybe even hundreds of technical job openings for qualified local job seekers listed on our website.
Know-it-alls.
Long hairs.
Lab rats.
I've been called an oddball.
And me, a rocket scientist.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Long name.
Amazing results.
Well, some housing markets are booming right now. Others, still in the dumps. Why? Consumer affairs analysis finds that markets where investors are snapping up houses are the ones where prices are rising. So if you're in Santa Ana, Indianapolis, or Oakland, that's good. If you're in Fort Myers, Rochester, or Baton Rouge, not so good. Well, H&R Block made a minor error on thousands of tax returns this year. And the result is that lots of its clients are waiting weeks longer for their refund checks than they should be. So, you know what comes next. Lawsuits. Lots of them. Only taxpayers who filed before February 22nd are affected. Here's a recall. Honda CR-V, Odyssey, and some Acura vehicles are being recalled because of a problem with the brake shift interlock. The cars could roll away without warning. And Natura Pet Products is expanding an earlier recall of dry pet foods with expiration dates up to March 24, 2014. They could be contaminated with salmonella. For Stacey Cohen, I'm Jim Hood. Learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. The talk we're talking about today is financial planning. And if you own a business and you're thinking of selling and you're going to have a bucket of money from selling your business, you got to do something with it. And getting the right and the best financial advice is an important step in that process. And that's the reason for having Rich on board this morning, just to talk about financial planning and the steps involved in doing that. Before the break, Rich was mentioning that he works for Edward Jones, and Edward Jones are hiring. So if you're sitting around and wondering if financial planning is a career path for you, you're welcome to give Rich a call. His office number is 916-973-1741. He's got a great lady that answers the phone for him, Irene. So if you call the office, Rich may answer the phone. If not, Irene will answer the phone, and just tell Irene or talk to Rich about what you're inquiring about. So if you have an interest to see if a career in financial planning is a good fit for you, you're more than welcome to reach out to Rich. And again, that number is 916-973-1741. Or Rich's office is on Fair Oaks Boulevard, just across the road from Lowman's Plaza in Lyon Village. So if you want to call in and talk to Rich face-to-face, give him a call to make an appointment. But that's where his office is located. In Lyon Village, which is on Fair Oaks Boulevard, Fair Oaks and Munro, and that's where Rich is tucked away in there. Before going to break, we were talking about financial planning and what's required to be a financial planner. Rich, tell me, who's your ideal client? Is there such a thing for a financial planner to have an ideal client?
Really, the best client for us are people in transition, people who are getting close to retirement, and they've done a good job of putting some money aside, but now it's time to make those really hard decisions about how they're going to pay themselves in retirement. That's a good client for us. A person who's changing jobs and has a old 401k or a couple of them around, and they're not paying attention to them like they probably should. That's a good client. Young people, I can make probably the most difference in people's lives when they're young. Because little changes when somebody's in their 20s or 30s are going to have huge ramifications once they turn 60 and 70 years old. So those are a good clients too. But we really look for those people in transition and people that want help. There's a lot of folks out there that can get the information off the internet, want to do it themselves, and bless them. We're for the people that say, you know, I don't have the time or the inclination. I want to work with somebody.
Cool. So if you've got a brand new client sitting in front of you, coming to the for the very first time, what's the place you start? What's your starting point with somebody who you haven't met before?
We have a pretty simple process, and it's just common sense. First, we want to understand what their goals are. So they've got to have some clear goals, and we work that out with them first. We come up with a plan before they purchase anything. We disclose all our costs so they know if they're going to implement their plan with us, what it's going to cost to implement it. We implement it in the most tax-efficient manner possible once we understand their situation, and then we monitor it. Are you happy? We stay in touch with our clients and monitor the plan and make changes as required. So it's fairly simple process. We've got use a checklist for that planning part of the process, and I'd be happy to go through that with you. But first, it's understand what the goals are. Do you want financial independence? When? Let's put some real numbers to that. Do you want to send your kids to college? Well, what college? Harvard or Sac State? How much do you want to pay for? 1 year, 4 years, 6 years? We help people formulate those goals and then come up with a plan that will achieve them, see if they're possible.
Cool. I love the concept of doing a plan. It's a great talking point in our family. I've got two children, and encouraging them to make a plan, it's hard work sometimes, especially with one of my children. Just don't quite see the value in doing plans. I like to live in the moment, and I get that to a certain extent, but if I'm helping somebody buy or sell a business or buy a franchise, there is a plan involved, because you've got to have some structure with what you're doing. Otherwise, you can be all over the place and just waste a bunch of time. So, Rich, what's the what are the different components of a good financial plan? You're talking about putting a plan together. What are the different components, and what are the good components of a financial plan?
Well, the basic process of planning is, where am I today? Where do I want to be? How do I get there? Can I get there? And can I stay there? That part that says, where am I today? I think I've gone through this checklist that nobody can see on radio, but it's, here, you're living within your means. Do you have your debt under control? Do you have some money set aside for emergencies? Do you have that all-important health care in place? Is there anything coming up in the near term that we've got to spend money on, because we shouldn't be investing on for your long-term goals with the money you're going to use to buy a car or fix the roof? What's your tax situation? Do you have a tax advisor that we should be working with? Are you in a high tax bracket? We should be doing investments that take that into account. Once I know that current situation, then we start to talk about the fun stuff, which is the goals. All right, if you want financial independence, what's that look like to you? Age 65, traveling, visiting the grandkids? Or is it 55 and, going fishing? What is it, and how much is that going to run? How are we going to pay for that when the time comes?
Cool. Okay, so again, the importance of a strategy, mm-hmm. the importance of breaking out priorities, very much key components of what you're putting together. And then once you have all those key components broken down, you understand the direction you're going. I guess it's a bit like getting in a car and driving from Sacramento to LA. You can get in the car and you can just follow the freeway. But if you're heading north and should be heading south, maybe heading the wrong direction. So let's talk more about this when we come back from break. Thank you for listening. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. And this morning, my guest is Rich Frank from Edward Jones, and we're talking about the process of financial planning.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
U.S. stocks advanced. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Donna Wilson. U.S. stocks rose as earnings from travelers to Netflix beat estimates, and new home sales rose in March. Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The Commerce Department reports sales of new single-family homes rose 1.5% in March to 417,000 at an annual rate, in line with Wall Street estimates. That caps the best quarter for the home building industry since 2008 and provides more evidence that the recovery in the property market will be sustained, thanks in part to low mortgage rates. In February, new home sales fell a revised 7.6% to 411,000 at an annual rate. That's a larger drop than previously reported. At the Bloomberg First Word Desk, I'm Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
The Dow is up 121 points to 14,686. S&P 500 index up 0.9% to 1577. And the Nasdaq gained 1% to 3268. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Call Money 1055 at 866
877-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Well, some housing markets are booming right now, others still in the dumps. Why? Consumer Affairs analysis finds that markets where investors are snapping up houses are the ones where prices are rising. So if you're in Santa Ana, Indianapolis, or Oakland, that's good. If you're in Fort Myers, Rochester, or Baton Rouge, not so good. Well, H&R Block made a minor error on thousands of tax returns this year. And the result is that lots of its clients are waiting weeks longer for their refund checks than they should be. So you know what comes next. Lawsuits. Lots of them. Only taxpayers who filed before February 22nd are affected. Here's a recall. Honda CR-V, Odyssey, and some Acura vehicles are being recalled because of a problem with the brake shift interlock. The cars could roll away without warning. And Natura Pet Products is expanding an earlier recall of dry pet foods with expiration dates up to March 24th, 2014. They could be contaminated with salmonella. For Stacey Cohen, I'm Jim Hood. Learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
Hi, I'm George from Essex Mortgage, and I want to help you lower your house payment. Did you know that Sacramento is one of the top five recovering housing markets in the nation? This means you may have equity you don't even know about. And even if you don't, we have government programs for which you may qualify, even if you're underwater. Not to mention, we're currently experiencing historically low interest rates. Nothing would make me happier than to save you $200 to $300 per month, maybe even more. Call me now, 916-802-4137. That's 916-802-4137, or go online to georgedoesloans.com. And don't forget to listen live 10 a.m. Wednesdays to Real Life Lending with Eric McKay and me on Money 105.5.
Essex Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS 70377. DOC 607-3343. NMLS 397095.
CrazyPriceMall.com, just in time for Mother's Day.
Our super saving surprise is
900 square feet of carpet from the Floor Connection.
Choose from Camelot, Catalina, Royalty, and more.
Including padding and installation. Buy responsible for all applicable sales and use taxes for the goods and services obtained via the purchase certificate.
Money Experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. My guest this morning is Rich Frank, and Rich is a financial advisor with Edward Jones. And before the break, we were talking about putting together a plan, about different options for investing and just getting clarity on where you're going as an individual with your financial plan and what you plan to do with your investment funds and the lifestyle that you're developing for yourself. And Rich was explaining the components of a good financial plan. And again, if you've got questions, you're welcome to reach out to Rich after the show. His office phone number is 916-973-1741. And he's tucked away in Lion Village on Fair Oaks Boulevard. So if you've got questions, you're welcome to give Rich a call. Rich, we were talking about the need for a plan, and you broke down the components. Once you've got that worked out, I guess there's got to be a strategy involved in investing the money. So what's the best way to put together an investment strategy?
It's really something that varies by individual. We know statistically what works for people. Let me probably best just to give you an example. So if you've got somebody who's 40 years old and they want to retire at 65 and they're a business owner, and it turns out they're expecting their business to generate, say, $50,000 a year in retirement in income. And the other $50,000 has to come from their personal investments. And maybe they're not counting on Social Security. I'll just kind of leave that off to the side right now. So we sit down and say, well, what's going to generate the $50,000 at age 65 that you're going to need to live on? And it may be that we're going to count on having an income portfolio where they're going to live on dividend and interest, and we're planning on the portfolio kicking off 5% to cover that $50,000 and to grow to beat inflation. And that would take $1 million. So at age 40, we look and say, well, by 65, how much do you have to set aside each month in order to have $1 million? And we know statistically that a 40-year-old with that much time, they probably should invest, not save. And they should probably invest in what we would call a growth portfolio that might earn 7 to 8%. And then we put together the proper portfolio. Now, here's the thing. That statistically we know what works. We know the mix of stocks and bonds and maybe some real estate and maybe some commodities. But just because we know what works and we know how it behaves over time doesn't mean a person can live with it. So we have to, again, listen to the client, because some people are not investors. They're savers. And they cannot stand watching that statement go down in value. And it took me a while to learn this. I had clients teach me this the hard way, that even though this is the right thing to be doing, they can't stomach it. So we just have to have that conversation and say, if you're a saver, you're going to have to put aside a lot more money these days, because what do CDs pay? Not much. But if that's who you are, then we figure that out and see if it's possible. If it's not possible, you have to learn to be an investor. And then beyond investors are speculators. There's some people that love to take a big risk. That I won't do in my practice. I figure this is serious money for your financial independence. I'm not going to speculate. But most of your financial news, the day-to-day movements of the market, that's for speculators. We're not making moves day-to-day. We're figuring out, well, if you need to set aside $2,000 a month earning 7% in order to have your $1 million at age 65, and we're going to put together a portfolio that'll get you there, it might be 40% in blue chip stocks. It might be 20% in bonds from around the world, because we're not buying domestic bonds right now. We might have 10% in some commodities fund and some of it in a growth fund. We might own some individual stocks when the market has a very tough pullback. Sometimes there's some great opportunities where we can pick up the great companies of America on our own, so that when you retire, there's absolutely no management fee anymore on those individual companies you own. If interest rates over the next 15 years for that particular client really climbed and started going through the roof, we would want some extra bonds in their portfolio. So everything is dependent on the person, first of all, because what I like to show people is, here is a growth portfolio. Here's what it's done over the last 20 years. Here's the worst year in that 20 years. It was down a third. And actually, during that year, it was probably down 50% in 2008. Now, what I need to know from the client is, what are you going to do when this happens again? Because it's going to happen again. And the answer is, you either have to live through it, leave it alone, or you've got to put more money in while it's down. If you can't do either of those two things, you can't have this growth portfolio. You're fooling yourself.
Right.
So that's what I do with clients. We figure out, well, what is statistically the right way to invest looking back, and then we figure out the best investments to fill in that mix, and then we make sure that they can live with it. And that's probably the important point, is that they have to live with it over time, because we're not jumping in and out of the market and trying to time things or speculate.
Right. Yep.
And that's worked. That's been a very we've got an excellent success rate.
Sure. One of the things I keep picking up is, and correct me here, is choosing an age to retire, is that an important part of the process? Because that allows things to pivot from there. So
sure, think about that. If somebody says, okay, I want to retire at age 65 and I need $50,000 a year, we know now, we've got a number. We can say $1 million? Yeah, all right. This is what you need monthly in order to generate that. We've got a good probability of its success if we invest this way. What if they say age 55 and they're only 40? We just jumped up that number a bunch. If you don't have anything started right now, is it even possible? Because we do, little story here, we have had people who come in and they say, you know what, I'm 65, so it's time to retire. And we go, well, that's great. What have you done? They go, well, I haven't done much, but I've been making a lot of money, so I'm 65 and I'm really tired of working. And it's like, well, I'm sorry. It takes a long time to put this plan together and really achieve it.
Right.
People that try to do it right, when they're in their 50s, it's very tough unless they're making a lot of money.
Right.
And sometimes I have to kind of be the bearer of bad news and bring a little reality into their lives.
Yep.
A lot of baby boomers, I think, are going to be working a lot longer than they have anticipated.
Well, that's intriguing, because the other day I was listening and they were talking about Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And Social Security, the idea of Social Security was in 1930s when it was first talked about, was that, you know, it would fund somebody's retirement. When they hit 65, Social Security would kick in and then fund the rest of the retirement for the rest of the life of that person. Well, what was intriguing was in the 30s, you retired at 65, your life expectancy was about 68 or 69.
I think it was 63.
So the government had this great program for Social Security that, you know, once you're retired, they take care of you if you live till you were 65 or 66 or 67, 68. But their expectation was that you weren't going to live much longer. But that's now changed.
And well, it's always been a supplemental program, too. It's never been to cover all the bills, although it has for many people.
Right.
But it's really a supplemental program. It's not enough to get by. And, right. and people generally want to maintain the lifestyle to which they've become accustomed.
Yep. And so, again, it's more important reasons why to put together the plan, mm-hmm. because you want to put the plan together. Okay, if 65 is the date you'd like to retire, you may have 20 or 30 years before you pass away. So.
And you have to have balance in your life. You can't just scrimp and save and put things off so that someday you can retire, because that's not a good plan either. It's really coming up with, hey, you want to enjoy your life now, but you also want to provide for the future. And it depends how important it is to you to have that money available at that time. Because some people go, well, I'll take my chances.
Yep. Yep.
And other people go, no, this is vital. I want to make sure that this is covered.
So once you've talked through an investment strategy with somebody, what are the costs and the fees involved? Is that something that needs to be considered as part of the planning process?
Very much so. People hire me for my advice, but really I get paid to sell stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and insurance. And all of those have different components. There's different ways you can get paid as an advisor. And so if you're a consumer, you've got to know what commission structures are. You can go out and buy no-load funds and do it on your own, or you can pay an advisor. And those fees run for mutual funds. If you've got $100,000, a lot of mutual funds are 3.5% up front, and then very low ongoing fees. Some people go, well, I don't want to pay that up front. So there's programs where you don't pay a commission up front, but there's higher ongoing fees forever. And it works out that that's probably more expensive than paying a commission. So I feel that you just disclose all costs and then let people decide. And some people are going to say, well, I don't want to pay anything. I'm going to do it myself, and I'll go the no-load route, and I'll try and find some real low-cost mutual funds, or I'll buy individual stocks or individual bonds, and I'll do it myself. Other people go, I don't really enjoy doing this stuff, and I don't think I'll do it well. I'll pay this commission because over time it's less expensive. And then other people will go, no, I like this wrap approach where you charge me a fee on my assets every year, and I know it's more expensive, but if I want to say goodbye, it's easier for me to just say, okay, let's sever our relationship.
Right.
I think it's good to, when you retire, it's real important to figure out how you're going to pay yourself, because when I do income portfolios, I do like a component of their portfolio to have no ongoing fees. I think that if you own an individual bond that's paying you 7% and you get that 7%, there's no management fee for owning that bond.
Right.
I think you should own some of those. If you own an 18, I probably shouldn't mention it. If you own a really quality company that pays a high dividend and it's a very solid company and you bought it while the market was down, that's not going to cost you anything in retirement. You just hold that and get paid the dividends.
Right.
But then I like that managed, active management of some of your portfolio to react to what's going on in the world. And that's going to cost. And that's how I get paid. Does that answer it, though? I mean, there's lots of different commission structures out there that I could go through for stocks, for bonds, for mutual funds.
That was the point of the question, is that there are a variety of costs, and it takes
know them before you buy anything. That's what I tell people, is know what's going on before you buy anything. Understand the product and also understand its cost.
So if somebody's sitting down with you to get your financial planning skills, often there's a need to bring in other professional help. Not so much bring it in, but there's a need to complement the work that's done by others. What are some of the professionals that could be part of somebody's financial plan that they're putting
I'll tell
together?
You, we are very fortunate in Sacramento. We have a host of great CPAs and enrolled agents. We have a lot of estate planning attorneys that are just top-notch in this city. It's just fertile ground here to find advisors. But we do work with those CPAs because if you're in a high tax bracket and you have a business, we want to incorporate your business plan into your retirement plan. We want to incorporate, like with you, we want to incorporate, well, what's your exit strategy for that business into your retirement plan or becoming financially independent? The estate planning attorneys, once somebody retires, I think it's real important to get those trusts done and understand what's going to happen to your assets someday. And maybe you want to start giving them to maybe you're charitably inclined, or you want to get it to your kids while you're alive and can enjoy watching people use that money you've earned.
Yep. So if you're talking to a business owner and and obviously they own a business. Do you have a different set of strategies for them that they need to think of if they've got a...
They've got a whole different opportunity set than people who are employees. So a business owner, because they own a business, now they can do all these retirement plans that are out there. And I really think a lot of business owners miss the boat because they think some of these retirement plans are expensive. And really, just a basic payroll deduction IRA for the smallest business, other than having to do that payroll work, it doesn't cost the owner anything. And when people ask their employees, hey, do you have a plan? They go, yeah, I do something at work. It's a great thing for the owner. It's a great thing for the employee. It's a win-win, and it'll help retain good quality employees without costing anything. And then a step above that, you start to get into plans that really don't cost a whole lot for the employer either. Simple IRAs for employers that only have family working for them, SEP IRAs. You know, this is the IRA environment. There's not a whole lot of cost involved or administration. And then beyond those programs, you start to get into the 401ks, and now you've got an administrator. Now you've got some expense. Now you've got a lot more time involved in keeping the plan up. But it also provides a lot of business owners with a greater opportunity to set aside a lot of money pre-tax if they need a tax deduction. And I think one of the things that's really overlooked right now, I'm kind of going off on tangents, sorry, but
that's fine.
A lot of people that are into 401ks don't realize there's a Roth election now in the 401ks. And for the younger employee, this is just wonderful. It's after-tax money, but they're probably going to move on to different jobs. They're going to roll that 401k Roth election over into a Roth IRA, and then someday they're going to need to buy a house or they're going to get laid off. They're going to need access to the money. That's going to be in a Roth environment where they can access it while they're still young in an emergency. It's great stuff. So I like to see employers explore these options, but it's driven by what the employer needs for their own personal situation. Does that make sense?
Yep, exactly. So there are things to do if you're a business owner, there are things to do to take advantage of different programs as the business is operating and continue to operate.
It's all goal-driven. So if we've got an owner who says, I'd like to be financially independent. I don't think my business is going to provide everything I need. So I want to start setting up some money and diversifying away from my business. All right, let's do a retirement plan through your business. Or they may say, I really do want my employees to have something. We don't have a pension anymore in the private sector. It's very rare to have pensions. So these programs are becoming vital to people, and getting them started early is really important. So I applaud any business owner that thinks, I not only want this for my tax write-off, I want it to diversify how I'm going to be paid when I finally quit working, but I also want to help my employees.
My guest this morning is Rich Frank. Rich with Edwards Jones, and we're talking about financial planning. And the topic just been covering is for business owners. When we come back from the break, I've got more questions for Rich about financial planning for business owners. Thank you for listening. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Hello? Hello? Hi.
What?
I'm Lisa from SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Who?
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Never heard of it.
Look, I know some people think of us as entertainment, but lots of people find jobs through us. So in order to be taken seriously, I'm going door to door with my harp.
I'm not home.
Then who's talking?
Are you going to play the harp?
Are you a harp fan?
Nope. Beautiful.
Thank you. Employers find local qualified employees.
Oh.
Post ads in minutes.
Oh.
Start getting resumes right away.
Don't sing.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Long name, amazing results.
I thought you never heard of us.
Nope. Never.
CrazyPriceMall.com. Just in time for Mother's Day.
Our super saving surprise is
900 square feet of carpet from the Floor Connection.
Choose from Camelot, Catalina, Royalty, and more.
Including padding and installation. Buy responsible for all applicable sales and use taxes for the goods and services obtained via the purchase certificate.
Money experts. Every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. The topic we're talking about today is financial planning, and my guest this morning is Rich Frank. Rich is with Edward Jones, and if you want to give Rich a call with a financial planning question, you're welcome to reach out to him. The number for in his office is 916-973-1741. Either Rich will pick up the phone or Irene will help you. Irene's a great lady who's been working with Rich for quite some time. Rich, before the break, we were talking about business owners and what they can do during the ownership of the business to put money aside as a financial planning and investment strategy. But I was wondering if somebody is going through the process of selling a business and they've had the business for 10, 20, 30 years and they've now cashed out, they've sold the business and they've got a bucket of money that they've got to do something with. What are some of the thoughts they should be giving to handling that money wisely and investing it wisely?
Well, let's assume that they're going to stop working and they're going to be financially independent at this point. And this is true whether it's a business owner cashing out, somebody rolling over their retirement plan from work, somebody who's got an inheritance. It's at that point where we have the discussion, how are you going to pay yourself in retirement? Are you going to have an income portfolio where you live off the interest and the dividends and really don't make a whole lot of changes? Or are you going to have a portfolio where you systematically sell off a piece every year and live off of what you're selling? So let me give you just an example of what an income portfolio might look like. I particularly like putting these together. They're a little tough to do right now because a typical one has... So somebody's left their business. Here's this big chunk of money. We'll take about 30% of the money, and normally we'd put it into 7% high-quality bonds because now we know what we're going to get and when we're going to get paid, and there's no ongoing fees with this. It's just, hey, that portion of our portfolio is getting 7%. And we put 20% in high-quality blue-chip stocks that are paying a healthy dividend. And when those, hopefully... We put them in at a time when they go up in value. We're probably going to eventually put in stop orders so that when there's a big crash out there, that might be our safety valve. So that 20% of the portfolio may end up going to cash at a profit someday. And then we'll buy back in as the prices continue down on the individual stocks, leaving 50% of the portfolio in what I call rising income. Usually these are either institutional money managers or mutual funds. There are ETFs out there too, but what they're trying to do is actively manage stocks and bonds to provide a rising stream of income over time and hopefully beat inflation through the stock purchases. And then we hope those individual stocks people own as well go up in value and keep pace with inflation. So picture that. That's your income portfolio. 30% is bonds, 20% is high dividend stocks, 50% in some sort of managed money, kicking off a rising stream of income that might be in good days 4 or 5%, these days about 3.5-4%. So overall, it's kicking off 5-6%, and you're not doing anything unless a bond gets called or the market has a big pullback and some of the stocks sell out and you've got to repurchase in. You leave that managed money alone. You don't do anything with that, and you just spend the money and live. You know, go live your life. Now, compare that with somebody who says, well, that's, you know, 4-5%. I really want to spend 7-8% of my portfolio, and I'm willing to take the chance. I don't want to wait until I'm old to spend the money. I'm young, healthy, and I want to spend it now. I don't want to take a chance on being around, not being around. So we do a systematic withdrawal. We'll put it in a more aggressive portfolio. We're not looking at the individual bonds. Now we're just looking at either institutional money or we're looking at mutual funds, maybe some of the individual stocks, but we're looking for a little more growth and we're looking for an easier, more liquid portfolio that's easier to sell off pieces. So mutual funds are perfect. You could have one of these new target funds that just is managed over the course of your retirement. And every year you sell off 7%. And some years that's a pretty scary proposition. And other years you're going, oh yeah, I got it with ease. So, and then you have to remain flexible in retirement to live with that sort of scenario. And by being flexible in retirement, I think that means having no debt. I don't think we've talked about that much, but when somebody goes off, they've got that big lump sum, probably the first thing I look at is what's your debt situation? Should you be paying off the debt first? We'll see how much money you really have. And then once that's taken care of, now they have the flexibility, if they have no debt, to say, boy, things are way down this year. It's 2008, and I've been hacking off 7% a year. Maybe I'll back off and see if we get a little recovery here. Does that make sense? There's a couple, yep. But that's really big, is income portfolio versus systematic withdrawal, and then figuring out the best income portfolio and the best systematic. And maybe you do a combination of the two. It just depends on how much you have coming from pensions, Social Security, how much risk you can live with.
And I keep hearing you mentioned the word bonds, and you gave a presentation last night, and you talked about quantitative easing and the big trap that may be opening up with bonds. What's that all about?
Well, I haven't been putting people into bonds for a while, and the reason is interest rates, I think people realize, are about as low as they can get, which means one of these days they're going to go back up. And if you own a 2% bond that's not going to mature for 10 years, and I can buy a bond that's going to pay me 4, 5, 6% over 10 years, what does that mean for your 2% bond? Well, it means for you to get rid of it, you'd have to deeply discount it.
Right.
So the value is going to drop by a bunch. So we're getting a little leery of bond funds, individual bonds. It's very tough right now to be getting income in a safe manner, because normally that's what we do. We just look for high quality bonds, and that's good, safe income. So now people are trying considerably riskier investments, master limited exchange traded partnerships. Mm. That are pipeline driven, that pay a pretty good amount, but have some special tax circumstances that you better understand.
Right.
Preferred stocks that have a high payout, but you better understand the risks of those. There's mutual funds that have covered call strategies that have high payouts. But again, all those will get the job done, but you have to understand they're a lot more volatile than just owning a high quality bond at a high rate.
Right.
But we just can't get those right now.
Sure. If somebody owns a business and one of their strategies is passing the business on to their children, a lot of business owners don't sell their business. They have a business and it goes to the second generation, third generation, fourth generation. and that's a good thing.
Get cash from the kids.
So if somebody has a business and their plan is to sell it, is to transition it to the children, mm-hmm. is there a role for you to play in that? Do you get involved in those situations?
I think that my role is probably not as important as your role as a business broker and the estate planner, because the track record for businesses going to the kids is not good.
It's not good.
The third generation is usually when the business tends to peter out. Yep. But that being said, if you structure that transition in a business-like manner, if it's not just an emotional transfer to all of my children, if it's being transitioned to the children that understand the business and can grow and make that business thrive, that's different. So do I get involved with that? Yeah, I'm part of the discussions, but mainly I'm looking out for the owner. That's usually who my client is. And you're going to be living off of this payout from this business, let's make sure it's a legitimate payout. It's not like, you know, the rental house that the kids live in and they're not making the rent every month and you're going, well, that's okay for a time. Hey, in retirement, there's nobody backing you up. So we've got to be a little careful about those. But with proper planning, and if you have people in the family who will indeed carry on the business and do a good job, that's great. That's great.
So we're heading up to the top of the hour, and the show is coming to a close. Any final thoughts? We've been talking about financial planning. Any final thoughts you'd like to share?
There's all kinds of them. When I think of one that comes to mind is Warren Buffett's, that you pay a high price for a cheery consensus. The actually uncertainty is the friend of the long-term purchaser of value investments. And I think that's something that people should keep in mind. Uncertainty is our friend for investing, because the only time that you get a good price on something you're investing in is because somebody is selling. And the reason they're selling is because they're uncertain. They're either scared or they need the money. So the only time we really get good prices is because a lot of people are selling and driving prices down. So kind of remember that. I guess that's a good parting thought is, you know, when things are really looking dire, that's probably the time you should invest.
Thanks, Rich, for being a guest on the show this morning. To the listeners, thank you for listening to the show today. My guest has been Rich Frank, and he's a financial planner with Edward Jones. If you've got questions for Rich, you're welcome to reach out. His phone number in the office is 916-973-1741. You're welcome to visit the Edward Jones website, www.edwardjones.com, if you'd just like some more general information. Or if you want to pop in and see Rich in his office, he's in Lion Village, which is on the corner of Fair Oaks Boulevard and Munro, or across from Lowman's Plaza in Sacramento. So pop in, tell Rich you heard him on the show this morning, and bounce some questions off Rich. He's, as he said during the show, he's here to help you. So if you have questions, you're more than welcome to reach out to Rich. My guest next week is Monty Walker. Monty is a CPA by profession, and he's also the principal of Walker Advisory Services, which are based in Texas. Monty is an interesting character. He is a CPA by profession, but he specializes in business tax planning and exit strategies. And he also administers plans for those that want to take a 401k or an IRA and use it as a down payment to buy a business or buy a franchise. I used Monty's services a few times now, and although he's in Texas with a bit of a funny accent, I thought it'd be good to have him on the show and let him talk about some of the services he provides. He has testified before Congress, so he's kind of an interesting character. He's highly educated and incredibly knowledgeable about his subject matter, and that was the reason why Congress had him come and testify before Congress, because there was questions about changing taxes and how it affects small businesses, and Monty was the guest to Monty went to Congress to do that. So Monty's my guest next week. Thank you again for listening to the show this morning. My name's Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker, and you're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.